for everybody here this morning. And thank you, Lord, that after the service we get to break bread and celebrate the greatest event in the history of mankind, Emmanuel, God with us. And so this morning with open Bibles, may we have open hearts as well to receive what you have for us, the true Christmas story, God with us. You came into this world to pay a price that we could never pay, to die a brutal death on the cross, so that we might be saved and receive the greatest gift in the history of mankind, salvation. One size fits all, the greatest present of all. It fits right in our hearts. And so I pray that everyone here, before they leave this place, would know that Jesus Christ lives in their heart. We thank you in advance for your word. Be glorified as we look into the true Christmas story. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to the North Pole. We're going to Nazareth. It's not about a reindeer. It's about a lamb. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. It's not about Saint Nick. It's about a Savior that came to make us saints. Praise the Lord. And so this morning we're going to continue from where we left off last week. We're going to pick it up at verse 39 here this morning in Luke chapter 1. A little bit of an introduction, a little bit of, just to bring you up to speed, just in case you weren't here with us last week. In chapter 1 last week, we saw who Colossians 4:14 calls the beloved physician. Isn't it incredible that God would have a physician write about the virgin birth? Hello. I call him the beloved pediatrician. He gives us, as he opens last week, an orderly account. As you know, physicians have to be accurate. Perfect understanding he had. That you and I, that we, whoever reads this incredible book, may know for certainty those things of which we are instructed. And it was written to one by the name of Theophileo, Theophilus, which means lovers of God. And we can take that personally here this morning. I'm in a room filled with lovers of God. That's why you're here. He first loved you, and here we are to in return, give thanks to him with our love. Dr. Luke, as I mentioned, who I referred to as the beloved pediatrician, gave us an orderly account on two miraculous births, which are a fulfillment of prophecy. They aren't accidental. They are incredible miracle births. As I mentioned last week, the first is a fulfillment of prophecy. The one who would be the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, from Isaiah 40, verse 3. That's another thing that I must share with you this morning. Where Jesus was born, there were no sleighs, flying reindeer, snow, North Pole. You know what, if you really want to see what it looks like where Jesus was born, just step out into the desert here. He was born in the desert. Yeah, amazing. That's why when we go to Israel, I just love to be in the very, very place where the Savior of the world was born for you and for me in the desert. And so, the name of the one who is the voice crying in the wilderness is John. His name means Jehovah is gracious. Yeah, Yohanan is the term. And God is gracious every moment of every day to you and I. You know what the word grace means? It means that we get what we don't deserve. Praise God. Anybody in the room want what they deserve? I don't see any hands going up here this morning. Because you know what the Bible says. You know what we deserve, every one of us. There's none good. No, not one, the Bible says. His name will be John, who is in turn John the Baptist. His parents were Zacharias and Elizabeth. The amazing thing about John's birth is that both Elizabeth and Zacharias were old. They were well advanced in their years, the Bible says. Elizabeth was barren. Yet God told Zacharias one day, as he was burning incense in the temple by the angel of the Lord, Gabriel. Gabriel said, "Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John." God heard their prayer the first time as newlyweds. I'm sure they were praying for a child. And then there was reproach that came to a Jewish woman who couldn't have a child. Talk of the town, how sad, gossip. And so years later, when they were mature, Elizabeth conceived, just as Gabriel had told her. That's another interesting point. Gabriel came to Elizabeth and Zacharias and said they would have a son. And a month later, he went to Mary and told her as well that she would have a son. And again, the amazing thing is Gabriel was a pretty busy guy. 500 years earlier, he went to Daniel. 500 years. And he hadn't changed a bit. You know what? The same thing is going to hold true for you and I. Praise God. We're going to have eternal bodies one day. What that's going to be like, I'll never know until I get there. You ever stop and just wonder what an eternal body is going to be like? Never be sick again. Never have aches and pains. No doctors in heaven. Wow. And the list is endless of those incredible things that you and I will get to enjoy in our new heavenly bodies one day. The second miraculous birth, you know what that one is. And again, Dr. Luke, the beloved pediatrician, tells us that this is even more miraculous. This is again in fulfillment of another prophecy. Right out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Can you hear that upstairs? Isaiah 7, 14. Yeah. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Tell me that's not a miracle. A virgin conceiving, bearing a son. Dr. Luke writes this orderly account with perfect understanding for you and I that yes, this was the virgin birth of the Christ child, the Messiah. That's what Christmas is all about, the virgin-born birth of Jesus Christ. So God sent Gabriel this time to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin, it says, betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David. The lineage of the family that the Messiah would be born in had to be of the seed of David. Lion of the tribe of Judah, root of Jesse, throne of David. Again, perfect, absolutely perfect. And twice in the very same verse, Dr. Luke makes it very clear in his orderly account that Mary was a virgin. Mary even said last week, "How can this be so? I've never known a man." The angel Gabriel tells Mary, she's highly favored. She's blessed not above women, but among women. And what must that have been like for her to be told that she would bear through the Holy Spirit the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. His very name means Jehovah is salvation. He will reign over the house of Jacob, Jacob. Jacob will become Israel. I got news for you. This day, God still rules over Israel. The hand of God is upon Israel. And when we read what's going on there right now, it is a fulfillment of prophecy that she would be surrounded by her enemies. And guess what? Jesus Christ is coming soon, very, very soon. And again, I share almost every week in about the third temple getting ready to be built and all of that. I'm not going there again this morning because we got to get into the Word. But his name means Jehovah is salvation. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah. And again, think about that. We've already talked about the glorified body. That's hard to even imagine. But eternity. We are going to live for eternity. Again, I can't even fathom that within this puny little mind that I have here on earth. And of course, Mary asks, how can this be so, since I do not know a man? And again, a confirmation of the physical relationship in marriage, a husband and a wife, a male and a female, period. And again, look how times have changed. And of course, Mary says, how can this be since I do not know a man? And Gabriel answers that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that the one that was to be born will be called the Son of God. For a young girl, what must that statement have sounded like to her? That she was going to have God the Son within her womb and she would carry him for 9 months. Amazing. And before she leaves, Gabriel tells Mary that her relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. For God, nothing will be impossible. And so this morning, we will now continue the true Christmas story in verse 39. And again, a reminder, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible and nothing is impossible. We need to hold on to that today. Why? Because we can hold on to his word, which is truth, and every cross T, every dotted I will come to pass that God gives us in his word. And so let's look at the first section, verses 39 to 45. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. I love this next verse. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Notice the word among, not above. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Wow. So here we have a divine appointment that Mary with haste went to visit her relative Elizabeth. And again, we see these two miracle babies and their mothers coming together. Gabriel had told Mary that her relative Elizabeth was with child in her old age, 6 months of pregnancy, second trimester, I guess you would call that. And so Mary arose and went to visit her with haste. She was in a hurry, couldn't wait. And immediately it says here, upon hearing Mary's voice, John, her son, leaped in her womb. And again, you know me, I like to try to picture things in my mind that I read in Scripture. And here's this lady, well advanced in years, with a baby just leaping in her womb with joy. And Elizabeth, as well as John, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. The forerunner of the Messiah leaps in her womb for joy when he comes into the presence of Jesus. I would say that's still true to this day. When I came to know Jesus, I was leaping with joy. We have a lot of reasons to leap with joy, don't we? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The world cannot experience joy. They can experience happiness. A lot of people out right now trying to find Christmas cheer. But only joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And joy can happen in any experience. Do you know that? No matter what you're going through, you can have the joy of the Lord. And so here, John leaps with joy. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. And she speaks out with a loud voice. Now, I can't do an Elizabeth, advanced in old years, voice. But in the Holy Spirit, having not even spoken to Mary yet, they haven't even conversed. And through the Holy Spirit, she speaks prophecy here. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. That baby that's conceived in your womb. Life begins at conception. She also knows that the baby in Mary's womb is the Lord. And she says, my Lord. Amazing. She knew the Bible. She knew prophetically that the Savior was to come one day. And now here she is, baby leaping with joy in her womb. And she is, I'm sure, ecstatic, and calls him my Lord. As she tells Mary that as soon as she heard Mary's greeting, that the baby in her womb, John, leaped for joy. I always encourage pregnant women to lay hands on your belly. Pray for that little baby. The minute it conceived, it's a human being, it's a life. Pray for that child. Wherever Jesus is, there is joy. Would you say that's true? Here, Elizabeth and John come into the presence of Jesus and they leap with joy. Also, it says that Mary is the mother of Jesus, her Lord, but only in his incarnation. The Word, the Bible says, Jesus is the Word, capital W, became flesh and dwelt among us. And again, in the Spirit, Elizabeth praises Mary for her faith in believing all that the Lord had told her. What did the Lord tell her? Well, back in verse 31, through Gabriel, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. How did Elizabeth know that? Through the Holy Spirit that had come upon her. It's a prophetic word that God had given her. Amazing. And again, through the Spirit, having not even talked with Mary about what she had been told. Now in verse 46 to 55, Mary magnifies the Lord, as this is why this section is commonly referred to as the Magnificat. This section reveals to us that Mary's heart was filled with the Word of God. As much of what she sings here we find from Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2 in Hannah's prayer. Verse 46, notice. The Song of Mary, it says in the superscription, my soul magnifies the Lord. The word magnifies means declares the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in who? God, my Savior. Hello. Mary needed a Savior as well. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And she rejoices in God, her Savior. And that's why last week I mentioned, we are not to exalt Mary. Mary was a vessel used by God. A precious saint that needed a Savior just like you and I. Notice, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. This is a term that refers to the lowest form of slavery. Look at the humility in Mary. She knew her position in the Lord. But you know what? And you've heard me share this a million times. The greatest thing that you and I could ever, ever, ever be called is a servant of the Lord. Jesus said it's better to be a servant in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Wow. Who came to serve? Jesus did. Yeah. Jesus said, greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the servant of all. And he lived it out as he came. He didn't walk around this big aura and this halo and all of this stuff. They had to point him out in the crowd. He wasn't this movie star, celebrity. He looked like everybody else. We need to be very, very careful when we describe the Lord, his nature, his character, his looks. That's why the Bible warns about no graven images in the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no graven images. I get a little upset when I see pictures of Jesus. Bothers me. Blonde hair, blue eyes, Volkswagen bus, surfer dude. No. But we're going to see him face to face one day. And he's going to wrap his arms around you and I and go, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. What's that going to be like to have Jesus' arms wrapped around you? That's another thing that oftentimes I think about and go, wow, absolutely incredible. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, and he's still doing that right now, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Wow. Amazing. We have this incredible song from Mary. Wow. A song from her heart. My soul magnifies the Lord. When we sing, we need to sing from our soul. Some people say, well, I don't have a good voice. I say, you know what? I don't either, but my Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We can all make a joyful noise, can't we? Praise the Lord. I have a pastor friend, Harold Noyes. And guess what? His wife and daughter have a group, a Christian singing group, and guess what they call it? The Joyful Noise. That's all we're called to do. We're to magnify our souls before the Lord. Just sing to him. That's why I love real Christmas songs that we sang here this morning. None of this other stuff. I'm not going to go there because my wife will come up and thump me on the head. Are you going there again? No, I won't, Tina, I promise. Magnify means to declare the greatness of the Lord. And that's why God saved you and I, to declare his greatness. In verse 47, she speaks of God as her Savior. This disproves the idea that Mary was sinless. Mary needed a Savior. Mary will actually, this is so cool, I heard a pastor share this years ago. Mary is going to deliver her deliverer. Mary is going to deliver her deliverer, the one who's going to deliver her. And when she says, all generations will call me blessed, she's not being prideful. She calls herself a maidservant, which shows her humility. She's just recognizing that God had blessed her and gifted her by letting her be the one whom the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, would be born through. We too are blessed by God. Just think about it. Mary had the Son of God in her womb. You and I have the Son of God through the sealing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We take him wherever we go. Wow, that checks me up. We have to be very, very careful, realizing and recognizing that he's God with us, he lives in us, and we are sealed through for the day of redemption through the person of the Holy Spirit. And that should change the way that we talk and the things that we the things that we do and the places that we go. He's God with us. As I mentioned in the opening prayer, the greatest gift of all is God with us. One size fits all, right here in your heart. You'll never find yourself in the exchange line. Praise God. And that gift is eternal through God's Son. So when we get saved, when we believe, we're sealed in our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 tells us that. She also testifies in her song of God's might, his holiness, his mercy, and his strength. Also how he ministers to the lowly. Isn't that great? How do you and I approach the lowly and the hurting, the destitute today? If you have God's heart, it's going to be broken for the lowly. Yeah. Compassion means their pain in my heart. And to have compassion, the compassion of the Lord, we should be sensitive to people that are hurting. And I would encourage you this time of the year, okay, yes, it is Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but you know what? It's not always a joyous time for some people. Yeah. 'Tis the season to be jolly? Not necessarily. I could lay out a list of people, I'm not going to do that, that are hurting right now. Two people recently who lost their spouse just before Christmas. I think it's so important to be sensitive this time of the year. Not everybody is full of Christmas cheer, but we do have joy. And if you have that joy, you want to share it with other people as you comfort them. She also testifies in her song that he puts down the proud. Wow. Pride is the sin of Satan. He's faithful to Israel. And again, that's why we pray for Israel every day. We not only pray for Israel, but we pray for those that are coming against Israel. I pray for their salvation, that God would save their souls. He keeps his promises to Abraham and his seed forever. And again, look at verse 56 again. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. And again, I stop and I wonder, what kind of fellowship must they have had? Two of them together. Miraculous births. The Savior and the forerunner of the Savior, John the Baptist. For 3 months, they had incredible fellowship. And again, don't you love fellowship with the body of Christ now? Isn't it wonderful? It's part of the church. Gathering together for the teaching of the word, for prayer, for fellowship, and for the breaking of bread. And guess what? We're going to do all four of those things today. Got Mario's food waiting for us upstairs. Hey, ciao. Yeah. And if you're visiting and you didn't sign up to come to our little Christmas party, you're welcome to come anyway. Please, please do. We got lots of food. That's why they call us Calorie Chapel. And we got a table full of dessert, too. That's why we're Palm Dessert. Yeah. All right, enough of the humor. I'll move on. You finally got that one. You guys are awake? Okay. So the time has now come for the forerunner, the birth of the forerunner. Look at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered. And she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. The appointed time had come, 9 months, for this well-advanced in age lady. And again, what a miracle, huh? That's the way our God works. He's a God of miracles. I get to stand up here whenever I'm in the pulpit, and I get to look at miracles. Oftentimes people say, show me a miracle, I believe in God. I said, you know what, you're looking at one. And I'm looking at a bunch of them right now. You guys are miracles. You'd be blown away at some of the testimonies just in this room, just behind this pulpit. We serve a God of miracles. And that's what we're going to see here now. Miracle birth. Senior citizen. The appointed time has come, just as Gabriel had told her. A son was born. Huh. When the neighbors and relatives heard of God's great mercy to Elizabeth, they rejoiced with her. Wow. On the eighth day, the circumcision ceremony is performed. We're going to go into that section next on John. It was a time when friends and family would celebrate the baby becoming part of God's covenant nation, Israel. And notice, so it was, verse 59, on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father. This is so cool. What he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet. Why? Because of his unbelief, he was made mute. And scripture tells us that God would not allow him to speak until the baby was born because of his unbelief. And notice, he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." So they all marvel. Look at verse 64. "And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And what does he do? He spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwell around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, 'What kind of child will this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." Wow. In those days, family lines, family names were important to the Jews. They still are today. Oftentimes when I share a name, like John, Jehovah is gracious, they named a child by something that glorified God, or something that was going on at that particular time. And so they naturally assumed that this child would receive Zacharias' name, Zach Jr. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name shall be called Yohanan," John, "Jehovah is gracious," as this was the name that God gave him through the angel Gabriel. Notice the obedience to the word of God. Zacharias, who was mute because of his unbelief when Gabriel spoke to him, asked for a writing tablet. Immediately, when he writes, "His name is John," his tongue is loosed. What is the first thing he does? What is the first thing that he does? Praises God. That's a good lesson again for all of us, that we use this little member in our mouth called the tongue to praise God whenever the opportunity comes. James talks a lot about the tongue, that it's full of deadly poison. Yeah, we have to be very, very careful. I know people sometimes slip and go, "Oops, I don't know where that came from." I go, "I do. The Bible says your tongue is attached to your heart. The mouth speaks forth what is in the heart." And so fear came upon all of the people there. And lo and behold, they recognized that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And now that Zacharias' tongue is loosed, after months of being silenced, he now, through the Holy Spirit, prophesies. He praises God, then he prophesies of the coming of the Savior for redemption, and that his son John will go before the Lord and prepare his way. He will be the forerunner of the Christ, the Messiah. Look at verse 67. "Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying," you know what? That's a good prayer to pray every day. Day, night, anytime. Ask God, "Cleanse me of all my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill me overflowing with the living water." God wants us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be Spirit-filled believers. And I think it's so important that we would ask God to give us a double portion, fill us overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Notice, he prophesied saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." The term redeemed means to be set free by breaking the yoke. That's what happened to you and I when Jesus Christ redeemed us. He broke the yoke. The world used to say, "The yoke's on you." But now it's just a yoke joke. Praise God. The yoke is broken. We are free. God has totally set us free. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Again, that's prophetic, because the Messiah had to come through the seed of Abraham, lion of the tribe of Judah, root of Jesse, throne of David, all the way up to the lineage of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary. It never says that he was the father of Jesus. Joseph was the husband of Mary, and Jesus was from the perfect lineage that was prophesied. And again, is this book not incredible? The prophecies, over 320, 330 prophecies have been fulfilled in this incredible book, but yet people still don't believe. I don't get it. Last night we drove around the neighborhood, my little granddaughter who's here, looking at the Christmas lights and all the decorations and all. One house in the whole neighborhood had anything to do with the true meaning of Christmas. A big sign says Christ the Savior is born, and there was a manger in the front yard. The rest, Santa, Rudolph, Frosty, craziness. Notice, again, in the true Christmas story. Verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, praise be to God, and from the hand of all who hate us. Keep in mind, if you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't hate you, they hate he who is in you. They have to put their shades on when you show up because of the light. Why? It says the world loves darkness more than the light. And so many times we wonder why people say things about us and get angry and all this stuff. It's because of Jesus Christ in you. It's sad. So what are we supposed to do, punch them out? No. Love them to life, don't beat them to death. We're to love our enemies, the Bible very clearly says. Love never fails. Love takes the weapon right out of their hands. Notice, to perform, verse 72, the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. He made that with Abraham. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Now, this is interesting. That's why I love God's word. There's so many deep, rich things in his word, and sometimes when we read it, we just skip over things. Notice it says in verse 72, the second part, that God remembered his holy covenant. Guess what Zechariah means? To remember. Coincidence? No. Because I got another one for you. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, guess what Elizabeth means? God is my oath. It is amazing, isn't it? Some of the incredible things we find just in God's word. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Again, we're to serve him without fear. Faith and fear can't dwell in the same place. If you have faith in God's word, hold on to God's word. It drives fear right out of your heart. Don't allow fear to enter your heart. Everywhere we turn anymore, there's fear. Turn on the news, fear. You know, everything from the Colorado River to you name it. Perfect love casts out all fear. Jesus loves you. Jesus gives you his word. And by faith, when we hold on to God's word and memorize his word and believe his word, it pushes that fear right out of our heart. We have no reason to fear. Oh, yes, there'll be times when we fear, but what we do when fear comes into your heart, take control of it, give it to the Lord, and then find a scripture verse that will drive that fear right out. Perfect love casts out all fear. God loves you with a perfect love. Do you know that? An absolutely perfect love. Amazing. And so here, again, we see, after months of silence, Zechariah speaks, he prophesies, blesses the Lord, speaks of the Lord's coming, and his faith enables him now to say, God has visited and redeemed his people. That's why Jesus came. That's the real Christmas story. Jesus Christ came into this world to deliver us from the world, the flesh, the devil, and eternal hell in the lake of fire. That's why Jesus came. Raised up a horn of salvation, fulfilling prophecy since the world began. We have prophecies all the way back to the book of Genesis that have been fulfilled. Saved from their enemies, all that hate them. Now in verses 76 to 80, we see here that he will now speak of John, his newborn son, who will be called the prophet of the highest. He's preparing the hearts of the people for the coming of the Lord. He was that voice that Isaiah said, chapter 40, that voice that was crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And he had a pretty good message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah, he preached the word. He was quite the young man of God. Notice, to give knowledge of salvation through God's tender mercies. Notice what he says here in verse 76 to 80. And you, child, speaking of John, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Amazing, isn't it? This is Zechariah speaking. His tongue was, he was silenced for 9 months. And now he's prophesying. You know what that shows me? Even when we blow it, God's still going to use us. Thank you, Lord. And now he gives us three mandates for John. Notice, verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. That's the first mandate for John. He would preach the word. He would inform the people of the coming of the Lord. By the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Here's the second mandate for John. To give light, verse 79, to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. That's the second mandate for John, illumination. And we were, weren't we? We were sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. We had a death sentence hanging over our heads, sitting in darkness, didn't even know it until the light went on. And all of a sudden, the light of the world called us out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he's given us eternal life. The third mandate, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's what God's word does. Gives us direction, correction, protection. And that's what we're to do. Get into God's word, seek his will and his way, and he guides our feet in the way of peace. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So the child grew and became strong in spirit. He sure did. And was in the desert till the day of the manifestation to Israel. And so here's John. As we close, three manifestations. The light shining, the day spring. He's lighting the way in darkness, shadow of death, guiding their feet, the way of peace. And in the last verse, as we close, I know I'm 15 minutes early, but that's okay. You can have more Italian food in 15 minutes. As we close in verse 80, notice, the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Oftentimes, prophets went through extended times of isolation in the wilderness. Have you noticed in those times when you and I are isolated, when we go away alone, how God ministers to us? That's why it's good at times to get away. You don't have to go for months or years, but just get away at times to go and spend some time with the Lord so he can enhance your spiritual growth and so he could focus on God's message. He had an incredible ministry ahead of him. But as you know, if you read the rest of the story, he died a martyr's death. Herod's birthday party. They were celebrating. Herod had stolen his sister-in-law away from his brother, and John warned him. So guess what? The sister-in-law, Herodias, when Herod asked the daughter what she would want, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter." And guess what? The next scene we find in the Gospels is John the Baptist's head coming out on a platter. But again, he finished well. He was faithful. And he left that body and is now in an eternal body in heaven. And praise be to God for John, because you and I are sitting here looking at his life, his ministry, and we all are gleaning and learning from his nature, his character, his ministry, even thousands of years later. For John, his message was to make straight the way of the Lord. Would you say that's important today? To make straight the way of... How do we know the ways of the Lord? Last week, someone told me that they went to a church to visit and nobody in the whole church had a Bible. No, that's sad. Been there, done that. Because when Tina and I, when our marriage was a mess, we went to church to try to find the solution to heal our marriage. And I look back now, none of them had Bibles. But guess what? She went to a Calvary Chapel in West Covina where everybody had a Bible, and she got saved and prayed for me for 2 years. Brought me to my knees. This is what we need today. We need God's Word like never before. And how sad it is, many churches are throwing out the Old Testament. Just from this morning's text, would you think we need the Old Testament? Psalm 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Hello. How would we know all of those things if we didn't have the Old Testament? That's why we have Bibles. That's why we give out Bibles. That's why we go through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, the whole book. Why? So that we can make straight the way of the Lord. So we can be ready when the trump of God sounds. This morning we get a glimpse of what it took to prepare the true Christmas story. Next week, if we're still here, wouldn't it be great if we got to celebrate Christmas at the wedding supper of the Lamb? No Marios, but that's okay. But this is the true Christmas story. This is the preparation for what is to come next week, so that we can receive the greatest gift of all. And next week we'll see where Christ is born of Mary through the Holy Spirit. As we close, have you received the greatest Christmas present of all? Have you opened up your heart to receive Jesus Christ and invite him in to be your Savior? If not, is there not a better time? Is there a better time than now to receive God's greatest gift, his Son? And if you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, be forgiven for all of your sins, have a new heart, new life, new home forever and ever and ever, I'd like you to stand quickly and do what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible very clearly says, he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And so if you would like to pray to receive the Lord, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Anyone? Okay. You've all got the gift? Take that gift and go give it out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, the greatest story of all. Emmanuel, God with us. And so I thank you, Lord, for giving us the true meaning of Christmas, Christmas, the Savior of the world, who came into this world to save us and give us the greatest gift of all, salvation and a personal relationship with you, Lord. So thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody here. Give us Christmas joy. For those that are struggling right now and going through difficult times, Lord, put your joy in their hearts, knowing that we have all of these incredible promises to hold on to, and that one day there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more grief, no more sorrow, because of the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. We do pray that now as we go upstairs to celebrate, that we would just have a great time of fellowship and fun as the body of Christ, the family of God. And again, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the worship this morning, the wonderful, true Christmas songs that we are singing. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.